Hallelujah. Well, let's just praise Him. Glory to God. We lift our hands. We lift our voices. We lift our hearts to You in praise, in adoration. Glory to God. Thanking You and worshiping You and honoring You. Praise God. Thank You for Your tender mercies, for Your goodness. Glory to God, for Thou art good and Thy mercy doth endure forever. Glory to Your holy name. Praise be unto our God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise, reverence, honor, and glory be unto Thee both now and forevermore. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise His holy name forever. 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 Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for the privilege to come together again today in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the privilege to feed upon the Word of God. Thank You for Your precious, holy, written Word. We approach Your Word again today reverently and humbly. Thank You again this day for the great mighty one, the Holy Spirit, whom Thou hast sent to indwell us and to be our teacher and to be our guide. And we trust Him today to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the Word of God unto our spirits. We'll give You praise, honor, and glory for everything that's wrought among us. For we pray in the name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, the majestic name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We had looked at in other lessons on prayer, the 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the 14th verse, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. That means with my spirit and in tongues. And I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. We felt like that it would be good at this time to just examine the Scripture thoroughly on the subject of speaking with tongues and note what the Bible says. Not our interpretation of what the Bible says, but actually what the Word of God actually said about the purpose, scriptural purpose, of speaking with tongues. We noted, first of all, that speaking with tongues was in the Acts of the Apostles was always manifested when folks were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you understand it's one thing to be born of the Spirit, another thing to be filled with the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But it said there in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, many people said that, the church began right there. I want you to go back to John's Gospel and notice something. Notice here in this 20th chapter, after the resurrection of Jesus, we'll notice here that, so as to get to full import, let's just begin with the very first of this 20th chapter. The first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, went unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. Now, the other disciple is writing this. That's John. He's talking about himself. He stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head was not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet he knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Well, Jesus tried to tell them, but they didn't see it. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, now I want you to notice real carefully now. Read all that to get the background here. But with that 17th verse, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, notice that now, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I wanted to read that to you to show you that they had received the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost. I mean, he breathed on them, said, Receive the Holy Ghost. Did they receive the Holy Ghost, or was he just lying about it? Or did he deceive them? No. No, you see, they had a promissory note on the new birth, but it couldn't take place yet until after Jesus ascended to the Father. Notice they said to Mary, Touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my Father. Go tell the disciples, I ascend unto my Father, to your Father, and to my God, and your God. The book of Hebrews tells us what he did. He entered into the heavenly holies of holies to obtain an eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Yes. Then when he breathed on them, they received the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And their spirits underwent what we call the new birth. Now, to prove that to you, you can see that they were here with the door shut for fear of the Jews, weren't they? I said, weren't they? Afterwards, they were continually in the temple, worshiping, praising God, right out in the open. Something happened to them, didn't it? I said, something happened to it, didn't it? Praise God. Amen. I wanted you to get that, see? And so then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there in one accord in one place, suddenly came Sam and heaven, blessed mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared cloven tongue like a fire and sat upon each of them. They was all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. So, on the day of Pentecost, we don't see a repetition of the wind coming, though it may. We don't see a repetition of tongues of fire, though that may happen. But we do see the repetition of the speaking with tongues. 10th chapter of Acts. We looked at it just briefly again. 10th chapter of Acts. The Gentiles. While Peter yet spake unto them, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. And they of the circumcision, as many as came with Peter, were astonished because that on the Gentiles were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How'd they know to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? You see, even though the Holy Ghost is active in the new birth, it's not called receiving the Holy Ghost. It's called being born again. It's called being saved. It's called accepting Christ or receiving Jesus. Amen? But there is an experience subsequent to salvation called being filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Holy Ghost, or receiving the Holy Ghost. And so they of the circumcision, the ministers came with Peter, were astonished because that on the Gentiles were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, how come them to know they'd receive this gift? For we heard them. We heard them. Glory to God, speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I had an interest. You'd be interested. You don't mind taking a little side journey, do you? Sometimes they're enlightening also. I had an interesting experience with this scripture several years ago. I say several years ago. About 40, almost 50 years ago. Amen. Time flies. The older you get, the faster it goes. Amen. So, I saw these folks. I was holding a meeting, certain place, and I saw these people. They sat towards the back. There's a whole row of them, and we prayed. They never prayed. They never bowed their head. And while I preached, I saw that they weren't, you know, in one accord with you at all. After the service over, they came to me and wanted to have a discussion of the scriptures. Well, I'd had enough experience of debating the scriptures. At the time I was 17 till I was about 25, I'd take on anybody who wanted to debate. Didn't have much sense. But between my wife and the Lord, they've helped me considerably. Some of you fellas need help both ways. Nonetheless, and if I could say it humbly, I don't think you could, but if I could say it humbly, I always shut them up. Always shut them up. Because I could quote more scripture than they did. And I'd quote them down. You know, just rattle it off like I did here a while ago. In fact, we had a fella in our community out there at that country church I started pastoring when I was just 18. And this fella, actually, he'd been to seminary. And he's an older man in his 60s. But he was a Church of Christ. Well, see, our church is the only church in the community, so he'd come there because he didn't know where else to go. He didn't have a car, so he'd just walk. I guess 3 miles to get there. So he'd usually come on Sunday morning. And so I remember Mr. R.O. Cox said to me, now he was Methodist. Mr. R.O. was 89 when I went out there. His older brother was 91. His younger brother was 72. They called him Babe. So Mr. R.O. said to him, he said, Brother Hagin, I thought I ought to warn you. Because you see, our lesson on Sunday, the coming up Sunday, was on Romans, the 6th chapter, which has to do with water baptism, you know. And so he said, Mr. Johnson is telling folks all come, said, I'm going to get that young preacher. You see, we had this Bible class Sunday school before regular service. So I went into my lesson, didn't hardly stop to get my breath. Because I knew he'd, you know, if I even stopped, give him an inch, if you open the door an inch, he's going to stick his foot in. So I just kept going, just real fast. Well, the bell rings, you know, sounded. And then you got 10 minutes. Some have 5, but we had 10 minutes. So when that bell rang, he just stood up. He's sitting right on the front seat, you see. And we was hearing, you know. So he just stood up and challenged me, began to quote. He'd quote one scripture and I'd quote two. He'd quote two and I'd quote three. He never did get beyond quoting two at the time. And I just quoted other scriptures, just kept quoting scripture. And we just slugged it out with the scripture there. Right in front of the class for about 10 minutes. And he run out. He couldn't, and I was still quoting scripture, just hard and fast. Right in front of my Sunday school class, he grabbed my hand, shook hands with me, patted me on the back and said, Brother, you're the first man outside the Church of Christ that I've ever seen that's saved. Now, when you get the Church of Christ to say you're saved, brother, you're saved. Hey, amen. Well, these other folks are of the same kin. So they came to me, but see, I've learned a little bit, not much, but a little. I don't know too much yet. Do know enough getting out of the rain. That's about it. And these folks came to me and wanted to have a discussion. I said, now, I'm not interested in debating scriptures. Well, we don't want to debate either, but we just want to discuss the scripture because said, if we are not saved, you are. I said, that's the best evidence in the world. You are not saved, because I am. I know I am. Amen. And so they persisted. Well, we don't want to fuss and argue. We just want to discuss Scripture. So finally, we decided to do so. Not publicly, but at a private meeting. And so I'm just by myself. I mean they've got their main discusser or debater, and then he's got two helping him. Actually, there's a couple of ladies and one man. And one of the ladies was really, she knew more than the other two put together. And that's not saying too much. And so we discussed the Scripture. Now, I had what I call my study Bible was a thicker. It was a thicker Bible. It must have been that thick, at least 3 inches, maybe more, maybe 4 inches thick. Would be pretty heavy. That's what I call my study Bible, see, because it had more helps in it and so on and so forth. And so I had it because I had, you know, marked, you know how we do. We had discussed for about an hour. And every time you pin them with the Scriptures on it, they'd jump back on water baptism. You know, they got a little rabbit trail they run down through the through the Scriptures, you know, and they jump back in that rabbit trail. So after about an hour reading, I think about an hour and a half, nearly 2 hours discussion. It is practically 2 hours. Well, I said to him, now wait just a minute. And I said, unless you agree, I'm stopping right now. That's by mutual agreement. We come to an agreement here. Because I said, we've just jumped from subject to subject. And when I pin you or get you in the corner on any one subject, then you drop back, jump back on water baptism. Now I said, in fact, I'll tell you how to defeat them on that. They'll come around and tell you they're gonna line you up, you know, on water baptism. You say to them, well, I believe in water baptism more than you do. And that immediately disarmed them. What do you mean? Well, now you say that nobody's really saved until they're baptized in water. That's right. That's right. Well, can a person backslide? Yeah. Well, if they backslide, if they were to die, would they go to hell? Yeah. Well, when they come back to God, do you baptize them again? No. Well, we do. They said, just go home. They can't argue that. See, if you know where their stand is, you can disarm them, you know. Amen. Now, we didn't go ahead and tell them that we don't believe that they wasn't saving us, do we? Just say, if folks want to be, well, we will. Pretty up to you. Some folks like to do that. See what I mean? But you see, that immediately disarmed them, because if water baptism is essential to salvation the first time, it ought to be the second time. Shouldn't it? I mean, if he was lost, he'd go to hell, wouldn't he? See what I mean? So that always closes the debate. But I said, you jump back on that every time. Now, I'm going to stop right now unless you agree. We'll take any subject and we'll both stay on that one subject, not jump to something else, until both of us agree to go on to another subject. All right, we'll agree to it. Well, I said, all right, what subject do you want to take up first? Well, they said, their main spokesman said, that Holy Ghost business. I know right then they don't know a thing in the world about him. See? I said, what do you want to know about him? Because, see, Jesus said, I'll pray the Father, and the Father, will send you or give you another comforter, that the other comforter, may abide with you forever. I said, what do you want to know about him? They said, what is it? Holy Ghost ain't it. It's him. Amen?
Amen.
So they said, what is it? I said, you tell me. Now remember that big Bible, that they pointed to it, said, that's there it is right there in your hand. Jesus said, my words, their spirit and their life. Said, that's it, the Bible. Oh, I said, I'm sure glad you told me. I always wondered what that was that fell on Cornelius while Peter was preaching. Acts 10:44 said, while Peter yet spake to him, the Holy Ghost fell on him. I said, if the Bible that fell on him as big as mine, especially after falling all the way from heaven, I might have knocked them all out. The main spokesman got up and said, just go home to the others. I said, I don't blame you. I believe I'd stayed home. I didn't know no more about the New Testament than you do. Needled them a little bit, you know. I've outgrown some of those things. Some of them, not all of them. I thought you might like that. Where were we? Yeah. So then in the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus to find certain disciples. He said, you received the Holy Ghost since you believe. They said, we've not so much heard whether it be in the Holy Ghost. He said, in whose baptism were you baptized? And they said, John's. Well, he wound up down there in about the 6th verse, but Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. They spake with tongues and prophesied. So that happened 20 years. See, Acts 2, they filled the Holy Ghost and been to speak with tongues. 10 years afterwards, 10 years after Acts 2, Cornelius, his household, the Gentiles, received the Holy Ghost, spake with tongues and magnified God. 20 years after the day of Pentecost, the 19th chapter of Acts, Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost, spake with tongues and prophesied. Now then, there are only two other instances given in the Scriptures about folks receiving the Holy Ghost, you see. Here are these three. It very definitely stated that they spoke with tongues, didn't it? All right, another one is the 9th chapter of Acts. Remember, just calling to your remembrance. There was this certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, I'm here, Lord. He said, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of one for Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and is seen in a vision, the man coming in, putting his hand, man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. 17th verse said, after Ananias had argued with the Lord a little bit, 17th verse said, and Ananias entered in, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, now it doesn't say there that he spoke with tongues, but we know he did. How do we know it? Well, this 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we took our text from. 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, notice that it said, Paul himself said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Doesn't he say that?
Amen.
I said, doesn't he say that?
Amen.
Well, thank God if he spoke with tongues more than you all. I wonder when he started speaking with tongues. I mean, you wouldn't have to be too smart. You'd have to believe that just like the rest of them, he started speaking with other tongues when he's filled with the Holy Ghost, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Well, then there's only one other. There's only one other incident where people receive this experience in the Acts of the Apostles. And that's, of course, as you know, in the 8th chapter of the Acts, and you start reading with the 5th verse, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. They gave heed unto him, both hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for many unclean spirits came out crying with a loud voice. Many of the sick of the palsy were healed, and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city. Now when they believed the preaching of Philip concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Now that must be baptized in water, because later on you see them receiving the Holy Ghost. Now then, notice that the Word of God tells us in the 14th verse of that 8th chapter, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the Word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he's fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that must have been water baptism. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, I was reading after someone some time ago, and they said, well, sometimes you speak with tongues, sometimes you don't. These people here received the Holy Ghost and didn't speak with tongues. They stopped reading right there. Well, let's go on reading, though. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. That's Simon the sorcerer. Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, taking this scripture just for what it said, not trying to put my interpretation or your interpretation on it, let's notice something here. Because you see, we have different ideas in different churches. Like, for instance, I was born and raised in the Baptist church, Southern Baptist. And I remember when I first heard them preach about being filled with the Spirit, speaking with tongues, I said, well, I believe in the Holy Ghost, all right, but I don't believe in this tongue business. And I'll put up with a little fanaticism to have a little fellowship around faith and healing. But, you see, because we were taught, if you're born again, then you're born of the Spirit. Now, that much is true. But see, the problem is a lot of times some statements are half true and half false. If you accept all of it as being true, then it messes you up. Now, if you're born again, then you're born of the Spirit, then you do have the Holy Ghost. That's true. But here's what's untrue. So that's all there is, period. See, there's no more. But now, wait a minute. Were these people here before Peter and John went down there and laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost? Were they saved? Were they born again? If they were born of the Spirit, weren't they?
Amen.
See? This is a section of Scripture that helped me, I think, as much or more than anything else, to see that the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost or receiving. See, he said they laid their hands on him and they received the Holy Ghost. It is an experience subsequent to salvation. So were these people, the Samaritans, saved? Were they born again before Peter and John laid hands on them? They received the Holy Ghost. Well, first of all, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible said they believed and were baptized. Were they saved? Jesus said they were, didn't he?
Amen.
I said, didn't he?
Amen.
But then right on the other hand, what better witness could you have than somebody that's right in the middle of it? Now, while I'm talking, you just turn right on over to 1 Peter. And so I just simply asked Peter. Peter ought to know, shouldn't he?
Amen.
I mean, he was one of the ones that Jesus sent down, or that the apostles sent down there, Peter and John.
Amen.
Peter ought to know, so I asked Peter. Were these folks born again? Peter wrote me a letter.
Amen.
And he did you too. He wrote it to all of us, didn't he?
That's right.
Now, what did he say? Look at 1 Peter, 1st Epistle of Peter, 1st chapter. Look at the 23rd verse. Being born again. Being born again. Everybody say born again.
Born again.
See, we're talking about being born again now. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All right, go back to the 8th chapter. 8th chapter of Acts now. Being born again. Being born again. Everybody say born again.
Born
again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By the word of God. All right, look at that 14th verse. Now when the apostles which are at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Woo, glory. Peter said they're born again, doesn't he? Doesn't he?
Yes.
But they don't have this experience. Thank God for the new birth. That's the foremost importance. All right, so then the apostles which abode in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, even the word of God, by the word of God. Sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might be saved. Prayed for them that they might be born again. Prayed for them that they might become Christians. Prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Stop reading out there. Well, it don't say they spoke with tongues. Wait a minute, though. Let's read the next verse. When Simon saw that through the laying on of hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money.
Amen.
Well, you can't see the Holy Ghost, can you? There had to be some kind of a evidence. Something happened for him to know they'd received the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't offer money for something you can't even see. Nothing happened.
Amen.
See, you see in some churches, people are confirmed, hands are laid on, they're supposed to see the Holy Ghost, but they don't speak with tongue. Nothing happened. You couldn't see anything. Who'd want to buy that?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
I said amen?
Amen.
Notice when Simon saw. Wonder what he saw. Why don't you turn back to the Acts, to the second chapter of Acts again. Second chapter of Acts again. The word of God tells us here, we read the first four verses. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Now, skip down to the 14th verse. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. Hallelujah. Saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And so on. Now, I want you to notice, ask yourself this question. What did they see and hear on the day of Pentecost? Well, they thought they was drunk. So they must have been drunk. It's all like drunk men. And then they heard him speak with tongues. Amen?
Amen.
Well, here, Simon saw something. What do you suppose he saw? Amen?
Amen.
Well, then secondly, if you're a student of history, go back and read the early church fathers. And they all agree that they spoke in tongues at Samaria. Besides that, let's go on reading here. I want you to see something. Simon saw that through laying on the hands, the Holy Ghost was given the offer of their money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Some people thought Simon's trying to buy the Holy Ghost. He wasn't. He's trying to buy the power to lay hands on them and people receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now notice, Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now notice that 21st verse. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Now look that word matter up in the Greek concordance. The root word from which matter is translated here is identical to the same word that utterance is translated in that fourth verse of Acts 2. Identical to the same word. The root word. It's identical to the same word. That's translated utterance. In other words, that's what he said. You have no part nor lot in this matter of utterance is what he literally says. Hallelujah. So then it's safe to say, from any contradiction, from any intelligent person, that in all five instances, when they received the Holy Ghost, here in the Acts of the Apostles, they spoke with other tongues. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And one should expect to speak with other tongues today. Amen?
Amen.
And if they don't, then they really don't have a bona fide experience. Keep on drinking till you get full. They were all filled.
Amen.
They were all filled. But now it doesn't end there. Go back again to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And you'll see that Paul is urging the church at Corinth and any other church to continue. To continue speaking with other tongues. Now why? Well, look in the second verse. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So then, you see, through speaking with other tongues, man may supernaturally speak to God. He that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Who's he talking to? To whom is he speaking? God. No man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Weymouth translated, he speaks divine secrets. He's talking secrets with God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That is a scriptural purpose for speaking with other tongues. That men may speak supernaturally to God. Now, another purpose is that believers may magnify God. Remember there in Acts 10:46, those circumcision that came with Peter said, were astonished because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and do what?
Magnify
God.
Amen.
When you're speaking with tongues, you're not magnifying the devil, you're magnifying God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then notice the fourth verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. It's a means of spiritual edification. Now the word edify means he builds up himself. Builds up himself. Notice what Jude said. You know, just one chapter in Jude. But you could turn over there if you want to. Just, you know, just this one chapter here prior to Revelation. And you remember that Jude said, but ye beloved, in the 20th verse it is, but ye beloved, building up yourselves. See, Christians need to build themselves up. Of course, we know feeding on God's word will build you up, but there's other ways too. We need all of them. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. See, it won't give you faith, but you need to be built up on your faith. Amen. Now, how are you going to do that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, amplified has it, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. Isn't that praying in the Holy Ghost? But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. Amen?
Amen.
He that speaketh an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up. Amen. It's a means of spiritual edification.
Amen.
Somebody asked Smith Wigglesworth what was the secret of his success. He says this in the book, Ever Increasing Faith, messages that he preached and taken down shorthand and edited. Because they want to know the secret of success because he had revivals on every continent of the earth. Marvelous healings. He said, well, I was going along doing the best I could. Until somebody told him about outpouring of the Holy Ghost in an Episcopal church there in England, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. And he said, I just get into my secret's this. It couldn't be education because I never went to school a day in my life. Started working in a factory. Didn't have any child labor laws in. Started working in a factory in England when he was 6 years old. Never went to school a day in my life. So it couldn't be education. That couldn't be my secret. Couldn't be pulpit etiquette, said, I don't even know what the word means. He said, I just get in the privacy of my own bedroom and edify myself a couple hours every day. And then I go out at night and edify the people.
Yes.
See, you can't build others up until you get built
That's
up.
That's right. Amen.
See, a means of spiritual edification.
Amen.
Now, again, Greek scholars tell us, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I'll just have to take their word for it. But these are reputable people. Greek scholars tells us that actually we have a word that we use in our English vernacular today that's closer to the meaning of the Greek word translated edify than the word edify is. The Greek word is translated that. And they tell us that that's that word charge that we use in connection with a battery. See, that battery runs down. You put it on a line and charge it. That builds it up. So we can say this, then he that's speaking an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up. He charges himself like a battery. Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I noticed this. After I read that, I didn't know that. You see, you can have the experience without knowing certain things. You did know that you edify yourself. But after that, then I realized, after I read that sometime later, I realized, and as I look back, I noticed every outstanding experience that I had. An experience in ministering to the sick, getting some outstanding, spectacularly supernatural healing, or an insane person delivered. As I look back, I saw those things, and some of the greatest financial blessings that ever came to me came after a time of praying privately in other tongues.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I remember I tell about it sometime. You see, and of course, I just tell the part that illustrates what I'm talking about. Don't tell the whole story. You know what I mean? Because the part that's pertinent to what I'm discussing at the moment. But I remember way back there, first Saturday, 1943, there in Texas, when that lady brought her sister right from the asylum, Wichita Falls. Well, on Saturday we got up. I usually always cook breakfast, still do. And then we'd clean up. You know, I'd wash dishes, clean up the kitchen while my wife's doing the rest of the house. Just we had a habit of doing that, because if I expect her to go help me, then I ought to help her. You see, so we can get up in the morning that way, you know. I mean, just the two of us, and then, of course, children were born by then. But then I can wash the dishes, clean up the kitchen while she's making beds and sweeping or cleaning the rest of the house, and it's done for the day. We need to go visit. We can go visit. Whatever we got to do, we can take off. You see what I mean? So Saturday, you usually don't do those things, but I just went ahead and did it anyway because I'm in the habit of it. Well, all the time I'm washing dishes, you see, I just had this urge. I put it like this. See, now today toys are run on batteries. They're electric, you see. But in my day, when I was a little kid, we didn't have any electric toys. We had spring. You know, you wind this spring up, put that car down, you know, and run. You know what I mean?
Amen.
You know? So I likened it like that. It's like a giant spring right here. And all the time I'm washing dishes, I'm praying in other tongues.
Amen.
Not real loud. Just praying. Maybe if you'd stood in the room, you'd heard me. While I'm drying the dishes, putting them up, I'm praying in tongues. Swept out the kitchen floor. Empty the waste bag. I'm praying in tongues. Went over next door to the church and checked it out. Someone else cleaned it up, but I want to be sure. Some of them did a poor job sometimes, and I'd have to do some more dusting. You know, dust off the pulpit, dust off the piano, dust off some of the pews. And all the time I'm doing that, I'm praying in other tongues. I stopped for a while and knelt in the altar and prayed in other tongues. Not real loud, just in conversational tones when it's by myself. If you're close to somebody, never said a word out loud, but still praying in tongues. I spent an hour or two doing that. And then I went down. I had a car, but I walked to be in the sunshine, get a little fresh air. Walked to town to go to the post office. We got our mail in a box, you see. And all the way there. Went down through the city park, purposely went out of the way just to have a little extra time walking in sunshine. And I prayed in tongues all the way there. Prayed in tongues all the way back. Don't misunderstand me. Down through the park, you know. Well, then I prayed in conversation, like you hold a conversation. Didn't lift your voice any louder than that. If somebody was close by, well, I didn't say anything out loud. Just went on praying in tongues. So passed right by them, praying in tongues. Stood there in the post office, because time you got there, see that another mail delivery come in, they're putting mail up. You can see them putting it in, you know, the box has got a glass front. And so I'm standing around there. A lot of other folks standing around there. But all the time standing around there, I'm praying in tongues. Never said a word out loud, but praying in tongues. I must have spent, I'd say, from about 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30 till about 2:30 in the afternoon, which would be at least 6 hours, I'd say I spent 95% of that time, maybe more, praying in tongues. Went right on doing my work. Whatever I had to do, got it done. And yet, there was the least bit loud about it. But the more I prayed, it seemed like there's a giant spring in here, and you're just winding up tighter and tighter and tighter. Tighter and tighter and tighter, you see. Or you're charging your battery, in other words. Spiritually. And well, here's what I thought. In fact, I said this to myself. Boy, we're going to have a great time tomorrow. I thought God's getting me ready for tomorrow. See what I mean? God's getting me ready for tomorrow. I thought, boy, we're going to have a stem winder tomorrow. You know what I mean by that expression. We're going to have a great service. In other words, real move of God. I didn't know he's getting ready. See, he knows and you don't know. But you see, about 2:30 that afternoon, this lady brought her sister. And thank God she was delivered. Praise God. Amen. Same doctors that had said her mind will never be right. She'll always need institutional care. When they carried her back to the institution, they ran all their tests. The same psychologist said, pronounced her normal and dismissed her and sent her home. 19 years later, I talked to her sister and her mind was still good. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you see, and I can just tell you experience after experience along that line. A means of spiritual edification. Now notice that building up. What will build you up spiritually will also build you up mentally and physically.
Amen.
We need that.
Yes.
I said we need that.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore. That believers may edify themselves. He that speaks the unknown tongue edifieth himself. Praise God. Then notice also, another purpose of, I'm talking about scriptural purpose.
Amen.
Many times the way tongues are misused today, and isn't anything new, we've seen it through the years. Today isn't anything new, it's just a rehash of the same thing. You can't find any scripture for it. Scriptural uses or scriptural purposes. Well, something they can be an isolated experience that somebody will have sometime, but you can't turn around and build on that and tell other people that you may have the same experience, because you may not have the same experience. But anything that the Bible talks about belongs to all of us, you know, where it belongs to all of us. Are you following me now?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And then you need to understand this, that people can have a bona fide, genuine spiritual experience and even hear from heaven and put the wrong interpretation on it and mess things up.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? I tell sometimes about an illustration that Brother Millard told me. You know, we started Rhema Bible Training Center over in Sheridan Road Assembly. First year and the second year we were there. We were talking about, and Brother Millard was pastor there, and he'd been in the ministry for years, you know, 50-some-odd years at that time, way back there then. Before he went home to be with the Lord, he'd been in the ministry for, right close to 70 years, 67 or 8 years. And so Brother Miller said they were having a revival there one time in Sheridan Road Assembly. And that a fella came from, that he had scheduled for a meeting was really a pastor. His wife had been quite sick, and he had contacted Brother Miller, didn't know whether to really come on or not, but they had an advertisement out, you know how that is, it costs some money. And his wife said, "Well, I'm feeling better, go ahead, I'll be all right." So he came on to hold a revival. And they were having a day service as well as a night service. And so one morning after a morning session of teaching, there were several ministers, 4 or 5 ministers, standing around talking. Brother Millard and the pastor that was holding a revival and 3 others. One of them was a young man, around 20 years old, much younger than the rest of them. And so the report came, the secretary came, Brother Millard's secretary came out of his office with a note that this man's wife had took a turn for the worse and that they were rushing her to the hospital. And so Brother Miller said, I said to him, "Well, let's get down here and pray for her." So they all got on their knees. And they prayed for quite some time. Prayed in English, prayed in tongue. Spent 25, maybe 30 minutes praying. See? And they were all just praying because they was all burdened for this man's wife, rushing her to the hospital. And so this young man, Brother Miller said, got up, you know. They're all praying. Said, "Wait a minute, men. Wait. I got a word from God. God just spoke to me and said she's healed." Well, they all got up, lifted their hands of praising God. And while they lifted their hands of praising God, the secretary came out with another note. She had died. While they were praying, she died. Well, Brother Miller said, "We all looking at that young man. He heard from heaven, she's healed. Everybody, all eyes are on him." I don't know, but I imagine he felt maybe that tall, would you? I imagine he looked around to see if he could see a crack that's big enough for him to get in is all too big. But then Brother Millard, being wise and having been the elder of them, both in age and ministry, said, "Young man, just what did the Lord say?" Because he saw, you know, he said, the Lord said she's all right. Sure she's all right. I mean, how much more could you be all right walking down streets of gold?
Amen.
Glory to God. He didn't say. See, he put his own interpretation on that he said she's healed. He never said she's healed at all. He said, "Stop praying, she's all right." I mean, how much more all right can you be? Going home, hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. Sure, see? So I just said that to you to say that over here in the realm of prayer, a lot of time, people may have an unusual experience or something may happen. They put their own interpretation on it, and here they go, and before you know it, they're trying to build some doctrine on it, and you get in trouble. But if it's the Word, and I got Scripture for it, amen? Then, praise God, that's a practice that all of us can enjoy. Now I asked some folks, talking to them face to face, because for the simple reason that I can't find Scripture for that, they said there is a tongue that nobody but the devil understands. Well, I want them to give me chapter and verse for that, don't you? I said, don't you? Now, the only verse they said, the only thing they could give me, I'm talking about talking face to face. I'm not talking about secondhand or what somebody told me. Well, said the Bible said there are divers kinds. That means different kinds of tongues. So if there is, there must be one kind that the devil understands, another kind that God understands, another kind that human understand, another kind that monkeys understand, another kind that cows understand, another kind. Well, see, you could carry that just as far as you want to carry it. But that's not what the Bible said.
Amen.
Divers kinds of tongues is different kinds of languages. But now, what kind of languages does the Bible speak of? See what I mean? Whom you're talking to. Now, notice. Look into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, right there in the 14th chapter. Though I speak, Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, now, what kind of tongues does he speak with? See? Though I speak with the tongues of men or angels. You see, if there's a tongue that only the devil understands, then it would be a tongue of devils. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Yes.
See, that's where they are. And they don't have enough sense to know it. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. Never said a word about speaking with tongues. So the kind of tongues that Paul spoke with was tongues of men and angels. Amen. We call it sometimes the angel tongues, a heavenly tongue. Well, see, if you was talking to the devil in tongues, it'd be a devilish tongue.
That's right.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
No, it's tongue of men and angels. Now, I've been heard. I've been praying, you know, and I remember a Baptist preacher. He had about 4,000 in attendance, I understand, on Sunday in his church. And we were praying in a certain place, certain time, and I broke out praying other tongues and startled him. He said, you know what you was praying? I said, no. Because he had been a missionary to some of the Latin men. Well, man, he said, you was praying up a storm in Spanish. Well, I said, I never paid any attention to it. You know, I had 1 year of Spanish in high school, but, you know, I can't talk Spanish. You know, I can stop and think up some words. But, I mean, I was just going like one of these air hammers, you know. I mean, just fluently in Spanish, he said. Convinced him. I laid hands on him, and he left talking tongue. Well, he didn't leave talking tongue. He's talking tongue there. Glory to God, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Another young man that had been in Germany after World War I, stationed there, World War II. He is unsaved. He heard me speaking German. A Jew in the service one time, he said, man, you said something I never heard anybody say in our language. He said, when you come to interpret it or to translate it, he said, I didn't know what you'd do. I said, well, I didn't even know the language. He tried to get me to talk. I couldn't talk it. It come under the anointing.
Amen.
When I explained it to him, see, I said first, he said, I don't believe in the New Testament. I said, okay, I'll prove it to you by the Old. You believe in the Old, don't you? Yeah, I believe in the Old. Well, I said in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah said, prophesied with stammering lips and another tongue, I'll speak unto this people. Amen.
Amen.
And I said, that's what I was doing. I was speaking in that other tongue.
Amen.
And then I interpreted. I wasn't translating. Don't know what it said, except by the Spirit of God. And then he said something. He said, well, you know, maybe Jesus, and he said, you know, that's the first time I ever mentioned his name. That's the first time I ever mentioned his name. Maybe he is the Messiah. I said, he certainly is.
Amen.
Now, see, God was using that as a sign to him.
Amen.
Here, I've had people had been missionaries to China, heard me, said, well, I understood 50% of what you said because you spoke in a dialect, not the one where we were, but the neighboring province. And so on and so forth. I've had people to tell me, right here that came to school here. We was over in prayer school and I was praying. They said, you was praying in Italian. I said, what? I didn't know it was. They were Italian. They said, you was praying in Italian. Well, though I speak with the tongue of men or angels. Now, not always do you do that, but sometimes you do. That's what Paul said he did. I speak with the tongue of men and angels and devils. Huh? No, you see, let's stay with the scripture now. Now then, you can't just take diverse kinds of tongues and say, well, there's a tongue the devil understands. There's a tongue God understands. There's a tongue men understand. See, that's far-fetched. You don't see in the scriptures how it's used any other way. Can you? I'm just going to stay with the scriptures, aren't you? I mean, you're safe then. You're just safe then. And can't you see how folks can get off if we're not careful? Get in the ditch on one side, don't have any of it, get in the ditch on the other side and got everything that you shouldn't have and shouldn't do. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know whether you're getting anything out of this or not, but I'm getting blessed.
Amen.
I always get blessed with the word. Praise
Amen.
God. I just felt it's the will of God that we get into this. So we want to talk some more tomorrow about the scope. Here's where we missed it. We not realize the scope and the value of speaking with other tongues. When we learn both of them, we'll be blessed immeasurably. And that's what we're going to do. How many of you are believers?
Amen.
Well, say it out loud. I am a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift both hands and praise God before you go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your holy name forever. Praise, reverence, honor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise your holy name forever. Praise your holy name forever. Praise, reverence, honor, and glory be unto thee, both now and forevermore. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. 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 Praise the Lord. 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 Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name forever. Well, say it out loud before you go. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
And His mercy endureth forever.
And His mercy endureth forever.
Say it again. One more time.
The Lord is good and His mercy endures
forever.
Amen.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org. Or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.